You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball for the second hour here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and let's go to the phone line right away and talk to Sabino baseball coach Shane Folsom. How are you, coach?
I'm good, thank you.
Good
thank
to join.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, good to have you here. Hey, congratulations on a nice state title here.
Well, thank you very much. It meant a lot to the kids. I'm pretty sure everybody's familiar with what happened last year. The state title got stripped and new coaching staff and everything. So it was difficult at times, but it meant a lot to the kids. So.
Right. When you took over, did you see that you had this potential, or was it more psychological and kind of getting them to refocus even though they won a state title? What was your thinking going in?
I mean, I knew they had the talent to repeat. I came from Catalina Magnet, where I played them three times last year, and because we're in the same conference, and I knew they had the potential to do it. But taking it over at the beginning, there were mixed emotions from them. You know, they were upset about what happened. Maybe they weren't too sure where they wanted to go from there. And then they liked the coaches they had. So, you bring in a whole new coaching staff. We did have Tim Galui stay on, who was the only coach that stayed on from the year before. And I give him a lot of credit because it was tough for him with new coaching staff coming in. But he also helped us kind of keep things as similar as possible as we could and not overwhelm them with change.
Yeah, no question. You lost, you had a great season, what, 24-6 overall? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Are you there?
Yeah,
24-6. I think we're having a bad connection here. 24-6. So who did you lose to, bigger schools?
We lost to Saudita twice.
Oh, did you?
Who we beat in the state championship game, yeah. We lost to CDO. We lost one game to my former school, Catalina Magnet. And then we lost a couple of tournament games. We lost to Higley in a tournament, and we lost to Palo Verde High School out of Las Vegas, Nevada in a tournament.
Yeah, so I'm sure those losses really helped you kind of refocus on what the end result needed to be.
Yeah, they really did. I last year they went through and they beat Saudita all three times they played them, and they lose to them twice this year before this championship. It kind of really motivated them more during the championship game. And one of the big losses for us is when we lost to Catalina Magnet at their place, and knowing that, Catalina Magnet was emotional after I'd coached there for a total of 9 years and had been there the last 6 years. So those players were kind of really up for that game, and it was kind of an emotional game on both sides, and losing that game really kind of refocused them to listen a little bit more about some things that we wanted to do, and they really kind of got focused after that point.
Yeah, no question. You had breezed through the tournament pretty well. I think a lot of shutouts, 10-12-0, and then you had how was the championship game? I know you won 3-0, but how was that? It was closer than the other ones.
Yeah, I mean, we did. We won 10-0, 10-0, 8-0, and then 3-0 to Saudita. That was a 0-0 ball game going in the fifth. We put up one run in the fifth, added two extra ones in the top of the seventh to give us a little breathing room. But, Jose DiCachea, the pitcher for Saudita, he's probably, arguably one of the best pitchers in the whole state.
Yes.
So we knew we had a tough opponent. But Mike Snyder for us had was 8-0 on his own end and had an ERA of, end of the season, ERA of 0.5, and doesn't throw as hard, not as flashy, not as big, but he's a competitor. He's a true pitcher. He hits spots, changes speeds, and we knew he was going to keep us in the game, but we knew it was going to be a close game, and as the later the game got going, we knew we had a good shot, and getting his DiCachea's pitch count up, and we threw four shutouts, so I don't think that from what we can find in modern day era for Arizona baseball, that's never been done before.
Right. And realistically, I know the last year, and we'll talk a little about that later, this back-to-back titles, the program itself is kind of feeding itself.
Yeah, and, we had a good senior core this year, but we had a lot of really young players. We had We have eight juniors that are returning. So the team's going to be very good again next year with a realistic opportunity to be in the hunt again. So I'm excited about that.
Right. What do you think, what did the title mean to them, given what happened to them?
It meant a lot. They were very emotional about it. It was something they really wanted to do. They wanted to prove to everybody that they were state champions, and they knew that there was no way they could take this one away. And it meant a lot. They worked hard towards it, and they were very relaxed though, and they weren't uptight about it. They were very confident. So it was nice to see. They really peaked at the right time.
Yeah. Had you faced Dick Ochia before?
Yes, we did. We faced him the first time we played Saudita, and we ended up losing that game. I think it was 7-5. We ended up losing that game.
Yeah. No, that's a heck of a pitcher, too, and you did very well against him. Tell me about the Take Me Home, Country Road song and what it meant to you and why you did that.
You know, it was something that the kids came up with, and as the season went on, it was they sang it all the time. They sang it everywhere we went. They would sing it at practice. I think one of the moments that I'll probably always remember is we got off the bus for second round of the playoffs, and everybody's watching us get off the bus, and they walk off the bus singing that song. So, I mean, they were relaxed. It made them relax. It made them loose. I've never been around a baseball team and a group of guys that sang as much as they did, but as far as we were concerned is whatever made them relax, you know, we were good with. So
all of a sudden, John Denver became cool. Who would have thought that?
I would have thought, right? Who would have guessed that?
John Denver, holy moly. Here we are with young kids. Do they even know who John Denver is?
Probably not.
They probably Google them. I guess it's a cool song. No, what a fantastic time to be a Sabino baseball player with a lot of good kids coming back. What made you decide to go and chase that job?
I would do the administration over at Sabino, and I was ready for a change after being a Catalina Magnet for so long, and the opportunity was presented to me, and I knew it wasn't going to be an easy job. I mean, it really was a tough thing to come in right after something like that happened. But I'm always looking for a challenge, and I knew that this was a good program here and a good school. It's an A school, and kids are always going to want to come here. So I felt like it was just a good opportunity. I feel it's one of the best baseball coaching jobs in the city, so up to the top.
Right. Any pressure to kind of – was there any pressure coming in to continue that trend?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I don't know. The administration understood the situation, but I think – from players and parents and everything, there's that expectation to win. And I did feel it. I almost felt like, I would tell the kids at times, hey, if you win everything, it's because you guys are good players and everybody knows it. If you don't win everything, it's my fault because I didn't do something right. So there was some of that pressure there. I felt at times that I was relieved when we won it, because now I feel like I was able to continue where they were at, and we can move forward from here.
It also kind of tells you, I guess, do you have any, I'll finish that statement once I find out information here. How many kids do you have going on beyond to play college somewhere?
From Sabino, we have quite a few. We have Preston Clifford's going on to play at New Mexico State. Gavi Coldiron's going to play at Midland College. We had two twins, Andres and Adam Villasenor, that are going to play for Siskiyous College up in Northern California Junior College. So we have quite a few this year that are moving on. We have a really good junior class that a lot of those kids are going to end up playing at the next level. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I was going to say, in facing a guy like Dick Ochia, you just have to. It's more about team, and not that many stars. Although these guys are stars as well in their own right, where teams win championships and not individuals.
No, I would agree, and we had some situations where, our starting center fielder became academically ineligible right before playoffs. And then Preston Clifford, who's been our starting shortstop in the semifinal game, came up with an arm injury. So he only was able to DH in the championship game. But I say that to say that the two guys, the first two runs that were scored by two guys that wouldn't have been starting if everybody was eligible and healthy.
Right.
The guy that took over in center field was a senior. He did a great job. That's where the one kid was playing. And he scored the first run of the game. He walked, came around to score. And then we had a sophomore that had to fill in at shortstop, and he walked and came around to score. So, I mean, it really was, like you said, a team effort, because these are two guys that a few weeks earlier weren't even playing. So
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen something on the internet. I shared it this morning with people, and a couple of coaches and administrators liked it. It was the coach speech from the Louisiana coach that talked about daddy ball. Did you see that? You did not see that. Okay. There's something called daddy ball, and he was talking about how kids today either give up early in their careers because they're used to getting their way or trophies when they were kids, young kids, and they fall out of love with the game of baseball. And that's a bad thing, he's saying, because at the young level, high school level, you have to wait your turn. If you're not good enough, you're not going to play. At the single A and college level, same way. Single A, double A, triple A, major league level. If you're not good enough, you're not going to play. And to kids today, sometimes, or most of the time, they don't want to wait. If they don't not playing, they don't get their way, they're going to quit. Just your thoughts on that. And he called it daddy ball, where everyone gets a trophy, but that's not how the world is.
And I agree with that. I mean, I agree 100%. I hate that everybody gets a trophy thing. I think it really does hurt it. I think that, a lot of what you see around town sometimes, unfortunately now in the off season, is to keep parents happy and kids happy. A lot of programs don't compete in the off season. What I mean by that, it's everybody's going to play and it doesn't matter if we win or not. But then you create that atmosphere then throughout the regular season too, where, you know, it doesn't really matter if we win or not. I agree that there's more to winning than just more to life and more to baseball than just winning games, but you still have to compete, because in life you have to compete.
Right.
You know? I had to compete for my job. You got to compete for yours. You got to compete for listeners. I mean, there's that's teaching them the real life skills that they got to compete. And, and they got to, sometimes they got to wait. I mean, there's going to be guys, obviously, this year, because we have so many juniors that didn't play a key role this year in the state championship. But if we win another one next year, they're going to play key roles in that.
Right. No, that was exactly how he said it. If you're not good enough, guess what you need to do? Get better. And then you won't sit, but everybody has to buy their time. If you're that guy that needs to buy their time,
yep, work harder if you're not happy with your playing time.
That's exactly
my own kids. You know, my own kids were athletes, and I was told, if you don't like how much you're playing, work harder.
Change it, yeah, change it. Did you play ball? You must have.
I played high school ball. I never played beyond that. Like I tell my kids all the time, I've seen girls ruin more careers than injuries. I never played beyond that.
I totally agree with you.
I went to Desert View High School and played baseball at Desert View High School.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, but I totally agree with you. And I'll probably leave it there so I won't get in trouble. But, hey, Coach, thanks for joining me. We'll talk soon again. I appreciate you coming on the show.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Great, Rick. Congrats again. Thanks so much. Thank you, Coach. Shane Folsom of Sabino High School. Back-to-back state titles, although one was taken away for whatever reason they decided to do that, but a nice win for Shane and the group over there at Sabino. Let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Maybe we'll get Coach Coleman on the phone after the break. Thanks. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. As we patiently wait for Coach Coleman, we'll just kind of talk about nothing. But actually, I got a score for you from the NBA playoffs with about 6:42 left in the first quarter. The Warriors are winning 20-16. So that's really early in the game, obviously. Nothing really happens till the fourth quarter. I did think that the Portland Trailblazers would win tonight, just because the only other thing to give me to think not is that they've given up. I don't think they're going to give up, but I'll take Portland tonight and see what happens. Although everyone knows I'm a Golden State Warrior fan. So it is what it is. So now as we try to get to hold of Coach Coleman for the show of the Arizona Housing Solutions Monday afternoon quarterback, we'll see what we got. Hoping that he calls soon. How's it going there, Tom?
Well, I left a message on his voicemail.
Okay. He's wondering, who is this calling me? And then they knew he said he was going to call at this time, so we're good. Like we talked about earlier, they've won three straight, doing well, at least in the standings. They're hoping to get to at least in the top four. They would have to pull off a major upset in beating Arizona a time or two the next couple of weeks. They host their boss on Saturday.
The Rattlers. Is this going to be a home and home?
Yeah.
This weekend and next?
Home here, and then they go to Arizona next weekend. Oh, in 2 weeks, actually. They have a break, and then they go to Phoenix after that. So they have to kind of pull off a miracle. I think they played Arizona well the second time. They're losing 55-41. They had a chance. But now we'll see what happens here this week. Should be tough. But it looks like we got Coach on the phone now. Coach, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. So you're trying to get in touch with you.
Sure. What's the fine for being late in a meeting?
Oh, $10. You know, these guys don't make much money, so, you know, you can't really charge them too much.
That's very funny. The coach is saying that. I'm sure it's like, you know, put away your cell phones. It's like if you have a cell phone in a meeting, that's a fine. You got to pay the fine, $50 fine or whatever fine. How late to a meeting? For the coach, it's about $10. That's about it. smooth move.
Appreciate it.
Hey, three straight. What did we say 2 weeks ago? Just win, baby. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, just like we said, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how it looks. I mean, obviously, you want it to look as good as it, you know, possibly can, but, you know, regardless of the look, you just want to get wins. And so far, we've won three straight, and you know, we try to, you know, continue that this week against Arizona. So nothing changes, you know, regardless of how it looks. No matter how ugly, no matter how pretty, as long as you have a W at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Right. What's the luxury in having Matt come in like the relief role and him helping you pull it off?
Right. I mean, it's a great luxury. Tell you the truth, we, whether it was Matt starting or whether it was Jake starting, either or, you know, you have a guy that can come in and really just kind of give you a spark and the change, you know, the plays don't have to change in regards to, like, the game plan or anything like that. Both our quarterbacks are capable of doing, what we ask, whether it be in the run game or in the passing game. So it's really a good luxury. And, you know, sometimes, you know, that happens in, you know, in sports. You know, every day isn't everybody's day.
Right.
You know, that's just kind of how it is. So if you're in a situation where you feel like putting another guy in, gives you that spark or – you can execute a little bit better, then you have to make that move because at the end of the day, you are trying to win the ball game. So, you know, us having that and being able to do that, I think it's helped us out a lot this year.
Are you the only team in the league that does this, or do others do it? Two-person quarterback.
I think right now we're probably the only one now. I mean, honestly, I think Arizona did it a little bit when they had Verline and obviously having Jeff Diemba. So, at the beginning of the year, they actually did it until Verline went down with the unfortunate knee injury. But I think as of right now, I think we're the only ones that's really doing it.
Is there, and this might be a dumb question, but hey, I'm known for dumb questions. Is there an advantage to it because you can't really scout or you can't kind of scheme for one or the other?
That's not a real advantage. The only advantage would be is if you had two guys that were completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to scout for both quarterbacks individually. And your game plan may change offensively. For an offense, it'll be easy because they know what they're running. But defensively, now your game plan may change in regards to coverages, what you're trying to run up front, you know, things like that. They may change depending on who that quarterback is. You know, you could be facing a pocket passer versus a running quarterback. So, you know, as an example. So it could, I mean, for a team that has, quarterbacks like that, the skill sets are a little bit different. It could help them out a lot because now you give the defensive coordinator and the defensive coaches a lot more to prepare for than you normally would as opposed to just having one guy or you got the same guy.
Right, right, right. It was dramatic fashion how you pulled it off. You won 52-40, last minute touchdown. What does that do in terms of excitement or adrenaline or kind of future as you move forward?
Well, I think what it does is it, you know, I think honestly that moment when we were able to, you know, get the kickback after we scored, you know, we ended up recovering the kick on the kickoff. And I think because, you know, we were playing well defensively and getting some stops, I think we only gave up like 10 points in the second half. You know, and offense kept grinding and kept putting the ball in the end zone. I think it was more of a team bonding thing than anything, to tell you the truth.
Yeah,
so
mm-hmm.
now all of the guys can see, you know, they saw firsthand during the game the mental toughness come out and what it looks like when, you know, when it comes out and everybody comes together and does their job and executes the way that they need to. So, you know, for me, I enjoyed seeing it from that aspect of it because I'm looking at it where, like, wow, our team's really coming together tonight, you know, and being positive, being encouraging on the sideline. So I think if they continue to carry that mentality all the way through the end of the year, we'll be fine. But I really enjoyed seeing that, you know, kind of that moment happening, you know, right before our eyes. You know, and as a coach, you think about that, you know, everybody else is kind of watching the game.
Yeah.
But for us, you know, as coaches, you know, we're looking at it from a totally different perspective. Like, wow, these dudes really came together tonight. Like, it was, you know, it was really fun to see that. And, you know, hopefully we can continue that.
Yeah, no question. I think it's like the call is coming from inside the house. So you're looking for things because you're in the house. Looking for different things. True. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you're looking for different things. You're always looking for, you know, either A, ways to get better, or B, you're looking to see how your team reacts, you know, in adverse situations or when things get chaotic. You know, you want to see how they react and how they continue to play.
Yeah, we're talking to Coach Coleman here on the Arizona Housing Solutions Monday afternoon quarterback. Let me say, the last time you played Arizona, well, the first time you played Arizona, it was a stinker. There's no question about that. But then the second time you played them, you were in the game, and you were in the game a long time. Did you get hope from that, or how do you look at it?
Well, I look at it as we know we can play with them. It's just a matter of us playing ball, you know, and we can't make mistakes that we made the previous game, you know, coming into this week. So block field goal, interception, I count it, but the last interception when, you know, Jake is pressing and trying to make something happen at the end, I don't really hang my hat on that one too much, but the first interception and the block field goal was really kind of what set us back, kind of like in the first game, you know, it kind of happened the same way. So, you know, we have to just build, you know, stop making – you know, the mental mistakes, make sure we try to play as a complete ball game as we possibly can, because we can definitely play with those guys, and we've shown that we can play with them. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, some smaller things that we didn't do, you know, throughout the other games, and hopefully, you know, we can correct those and go into this ball game and continue to play, you know, at the level that we played at, you know, the last 3 weeks and see what happens at the end.
As a former player, and bear with me on this question, it matters who you play. And let me tell you this realistically. You beat San Diego, and you beat Bismarck. Their records are not, you know, all that great, but you beat them because it beats the alternative. And we all know that, you know, beats the alternative, but you won. And now you go up against Arizona, who's 9-0. So it matters who you play, but it also helps that you're winning to help that cause, if that makes any sense. Yes?
No, it does. But yeah, it makes sense. And here's the thing. You beat the teams that you're supposed to beat.
Yeah.
You know, even as a former player. So yes, I understand it's San Diego twice and Bismarck, but you beat the teams that you're supposed to beat, regardless of, you know, what their records are and what they're knowing. So, you know, and we've done that. So now we come in Arizona. you know, like you said, you know, they're 10-0. They're number one in the conference. And right now they're the ones, you know, throughout the entire league, probably, you know, playing the best brand of ball. So, you know, it'll be a good test to see where we are right now, you know, coming into the season, you know, this late in the season, coming off a 3-game winning streak. The confidence is high. I think, you know, guys are gelling. They're coming together. So it's a good measuring stick. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how everything goes this weekend. But you're right. It does matter who you play, because playing the San Diegos and the Bismarcks and whoever else is totally different than playing Arizona.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
So it definitely is. So I even as a player, I agree with you on that. But as a player, and this is just me as a player, when you beat the teams you're supposed to beat and you get to the next team and they're on the level where Arizona is, then your level of play has to go up as well because, yeah. you know, that's what's needed in order to beat them. So, you know, that's, you know, the message that we'll send to the guys and continue to ingrain in them throughout the week. And that's the message that we need to carry into the game this weekend.
Yeah, I think we talked about this maybe a month or so ago. You play with the Jets, and we know how much they struggled throughout the years. And then all of a sudden, it turned around, and you finished right. very well 1 year. So I'm thinking you're probably still looking at it like that. You know, at some point, not that it's bad, you're 6-5, but you can see that turnaround.
Yeah, you can see the turnaround, and you're right. You know, we go from my rookie year where we were 1-15, and the next year we missed the playoffs by one game at 9-7. The following year we went to the AFC Championship game. So the turnaround is possible. So, you know, and it actually happened with us, you know, myself and then Coach Nelson and Chin, you know, in Iowa. In 17, we went 13-3. We lost in the Conference Championship game. And then last year in 18, we go to the United Bowl and win it. So the turnaround is possible. And you can, you know, you kind of sense and see when the turnaround is starting to happen. And I'm kind of getting a sense of that. We're seeing guys, you know, come together, and you're kind of seeing the turnaround and seeing that they understand what's at stake and what's needed in order to win games. So, and it's, you know, from this side of it, you know, as a coach, although it's different because you can still see it as a player, but it's definitely a different set of eyes, you know, looking at it from a coaching perspective.
Yeah, no, and you're probably, because this is your first year in that spot, you're probably learning a lot, going through all this time, learning things for the first time, seeing things as guys react to wins and to losses.
Yeah, there's been quite a bit of learning, tell you the truth. And it's funny because anytime I coach I talk to Coach Guy, you know, when we're just talking ball or we're talking whatever and we get, you know, we start talking about, you know, head coaching things and situations and things like that, he always says, he's like, hey, some of these things you're just going to have to grow and fill out on your own. You know, that's just kind of, you know, that's just what the nature of the head coaching business is. And he's right about that because, and I say this all the time, and it may sound dumb when I say it, but, or cliche or whatever it is, but there's no manual for, right. for being a head coach. You can't go to the library and check out a book on how to be a head coach. You know, right. you have to learn as you go, and hopefully what you learn from the other head coaches that you may have been under or that you played under, you know, hopefully you took something from them and you have to put it all together and make it yours. And, you know, that's kind of how you become the head coach. So it's been fun learning everything. It's been fun seeing everything, whether it be, you know, exciting, whether it be frustrating. I've enjoyed going through, you know, both the ups and the downs, you know, with it. So, and I've actually learned how to, you know, kind of alter my style a little bit. You have to change up some things to fit the personnel that you have. With the coaching staff and the players. So it's been actually fun, you know, going through this process and being able to make the adjustments and you know, hopefully it works out for us.
It's funny you talk about there's no manual. It's like being a first-time dad and you say, there are manuals for that, books for that, but you know what? They don't apply because it's not, you're going through it for the first time.
Exactly, yeah, they don't apply. Every kid's different.
Yeah, so. exactly. Exactly. Let me ask you this, another dumb question. You and Coach Guy obviously have a working relationship, and we've talked about this before, but does he talk a lot of crap during this week, or is it business as usual?
No, he doesn't talk a lot of crap. I mean, because the thing you got to understand about Coach Guy is he kind of talks in general anyway. That's just kind of his personality, you know, where – you know, if you may have a little banter back and forth, or, you know, he may, you know, take a shot at, you know, whoever, you know, back and forth. So he may say something and I may say something and then we just keep talking again. So it's not like something that's just like constant, you know, for, you know, just for this week.
Yeah.
You know, I would say. So no, he doesn't, you know, get into it and, you know, start doing a lot of crap talking this week or whatever it is. He may slide something in every now and then if we're talking about something, but it's not, yeah, but it's not, you know, but it's not overboard. You know, he doesn't make it more than what it is because and he and I think alike in this manner. Just because we have a relationship, whether it be a friend, you know, whether it be the relationship between he is the owner and me as the coach, or, you know, from coach to coach, it's kind of ridiculous when you see that, especially at the higher levels where you see these coaches and they've been friends for 30 years and then the week that they play each other, they don't talk to each other.
Right.
I'm like, that's stupid. Like, that makes no sense. So I don't understand it. And neither does he. You know, he's kind of like that too. So I don't know. It's just, I just find it weird, you know, that coaches do that. But we don't, he and I don't do that. You know, we talk, all the time. And then even during the week that we're playing each other, we still talk, So
right.
You know, there's no change in what we're doing, and there's no difference in what we're doing.
And final question. So that said, and he went and sought you to be the head coach, so he saw something in you. What have you learned, maybe the number one thing you've learned from him as a coach?
Oh, man. Tell you the truth, I would have to say right now, because I'm pretty organized as well. I mean, I've taken some of the things that he's done and kind of put it into mine. But really being aware of, like, the situational stuff, as a whole. So not just, I can't focus on just defense like I normally would.
Right.
Because I was, the defense coordinator. So now the offensive situations, time management with the clock, special teams, things like that. So what I've learned, being aware of, the situational things that go on, I would say, whether it be within practice and with the games. And honestly, really, another thing that I've, learned from him that's been, very efficient and important is really like how to manage the staff, because now you're in a leadership role. So now you have to, delegate certain things, and there's certain things that you do have to do, or you need to, inform your staff that you want certain things done in a certain way, and they have to carry that out. So those will probably be the two biggest things that, that I've learned from him, since I've been on the job.
Okay, Coach. Well, I appreciate it. Okay, by the way.
Well, I appreciate it, man.
Keep your $10. You need them, for being
all
late.
Right, I appreciate it. Or
put it in the Rivera, I got to buy lunch one of these days. One of those, whatever.
You know what? I'll put it in the Rivera, in the Rivera lunchbox. That's where it goes. I'll stick it in there.
You probably need to be late a few more times for my lunch. Thanks. Thanks, Coach.
Right.
Hey, good luck this weekend.
I appreciate it, man.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right.
Hey, let's take a break here, Tom, on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. It was good to talk to Coach Coleman, a little late, but it was good. Always trying to make him laugh. He's a tough job that he has. I'm not sure I'm good at that, but, try. Hey, did you watch Jeopardy? Tom?
I have watched it.
You have watched
it? But not so much in recent years.
Well, that guy, James Holzhauer?
The guy who's won like a million or something?
He's won almost 2 million now. He won $90,000 yesterday.
In one show alone.
One show alone. He's at 1.9, I think, he's won 1.7 million in 20-some games, I think it is.
So do they just keep racking it up and then they pay him off? When he loses, then he gets his...
paycheck. I would assume that's how it works. I don't know, but he made $89,000 yesterday. I think I made $8.90. So what's that in terms of percentages?
It's beyond my ken.
God, I picked the wrong. I should have studied more in school, paid attention more,
or use your calculator.
I'm a numbers guy, but what the heck? Wow, and he's a Vegas dude. He's a gambler type of thing. He's 34 years old. And Roland, he should pass the all-time number of Ken Jennings in about 10 more shows, they say, if he continues the pace that he's on. He has 13 of the top scoring days in the history of the game. It's funny. It says even here that he has provided 841 correct answers and only been wrong 27 times. So
wow.
He's taken 868 free throws and missed 27.
Gee, I wonder how that would translate into an SAT score for getting into college.
What's the max, 1,500?
It'd probably be like 14,999.999 or something.
Yeah. You can get into any college. Well, I think we talked about this. I can't remember. Major League teams have said if he's available to get hired, they'd hire him. Because he's all about stats and probabilities and things like that. And,
I see another movie coming?
Here we go. What, there's no crying in baseball?
No, there's a movie about the guy that came up with the stats
oh,
and the
yeah.
computer
yeah.
method of, analyzing everything and coming up with that as far as doing the draft?
Yeah, Billy Bean, Moneyball.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of that way. But smart dudes get away with a lot of stuff, and he's obviously a very smart guy. Get a smart guy. Hey, and let's go to the score table here. It's 36-35, 11 minutes left in the second quarter. Andre Iguodala is not playing or hasn't played to this point.
At this point in the scored. Last two games, Portland was up, what, 8, 9, 10 points, something like that?
Let me go to my phrase, what I say all the time.
Okay, we got to wait till the fourth quarter.
We got to wait till the fourth quarter because it means nothing. I mean, honestly, if people watch the NBA throughout this season, it always happens. You can have a 20-point lead, 15-point lead, or whatever it is. It means nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, this means nothing.
At this point, it's making the job easier for the Warriors.
True.
At this point in the game compared to the last couple of games.
Sports is a lot of psychology, though. I still think that the Portland Trail Blazers are going to win tonight for whatever reason. You know, if Javier tweeted that, I'd probably be right, but we'll see. This is how sick Javier is. He already tweeted, I was on a Steve show today, and he still hasn't won the lottery because I'm still doing my show.
Well, Javier, come on, let's give him a chance here. Probably the next drawing won't be until Wednesday.
Yes, now I need to get my ticket.
That's right.
Now I need to get my ticket because I usually don't buy those darn things. Hey, you know what we need to do? We need to do this. 10 minutes left in this show. Let's do this. We have tickets to give away to the Sugar Skulls, and tickets are always, I always forget about them. Let's take the first two callers. If you're the first two callers and you want to go to the Sugar Skulls game, we've got two tickets each for each call. So 790.
Total of four.
Total of four. 790-2040.
This will be for this weekend?
This weekend, Saturday.
790-2040.
And then the first caller will get two tickets, the second caller will get two tickets. And
are they playing the Rattlers?
They are playing the Rattlers.
Oh, big game.
So they need a big crowd.
These are going to be premium tickets here.
Well, to a premium game.
Not necessarily premium seats, but
thanks for clarifying.
This is a big game.
Yes, thanks for clarifying. It should be a fun game to go to. I'm not sure if I'm going to go to it yet because the women's softball team plays around that time, and so we'll see. We'll see what happens. 790-2040, if you want to get those tickets, please call, or if you want to call in and talk about other things. So I threw that question out to Coach Folsom about the daddy ball, and he was right on the money, at least how I think that everybody eventually, you have to compete at some point in your life, whether it's baseball, basketball, whatever, in life, to get a job or to compete for the girl or the guy or whatever, and that's what it is. It's about competition, learning how to be good at what you do, and not backing down, and have this wherewithal to be, again, good at what you do. And that coach, I thought, hit it on the head. I've got a few likes on that post that I put on Facebook. And if you want to kind of re-listen to these shows that I have, you can go to kvoy.com or go to my website, allsportstucson.com, you can friend me on Facebook. Just look for me and my ugly mug, and you'll find me, and you can just friend me, and I'll probably accept it. So if you want to do that, that's fine. If you want to repeat the show or listen to it again, just those are the methods, the way to do it. We've got one call for the tickets. So that's good. And once the show's over, I'm going to race to go see the Warriors play the Trailblazers. And it looks like the Warriors have taken lead 42-38. With lots of time left, 8 minutes here in the second quarter, and of course, obviously, nothing happens until the fourth quarter, like I've always said. And the women's golf team, are in sixth place out of eight going into tomorrow's matches. Big deal for them because they are the defending national champion in the championship last year. So we'll see what happens with that. You have some momentum going for them here, so we'll see what happens. Where are we going to go with this? We have a call.
Yeah, Matt wants to get in on a conversation
with
you.
Cool. Did we get any tickets sold? Any tickets? People calling for tickets? Not yet.
Yeah. I've given away a pair already.
Okay, cool. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hey, Steve.
What's going on?
I don't know if you talked about it earlier in the show, but I saw an article. I marked the tape because I'm going to say something nice about the Pac-12.
Go right ahead. It'll be a first.
It'll be a very first. they're going to limit the number of cupcake teams, according to an article I saw today.
I saw that. Go ahead. Go ahead.
As a season ticket holder, thank you.
I totally agree with that. I saw the headline on that. I didn't read the story because I was headed here. But that is a good thing. If you're paying a lot of money for these tickets, and I know you are, and I'm not specific to you, but to everybody who buys those tickets, you deserve good games. And, of course, you don't want to lose those good games at home. But, you know, they're entertainment. You're paying a lot of money for that entertainment.
Is this just basketball?
Just basketball. Yeah.
Men's basketball.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and maybe somebody that makes a huge salary in the San Jose area connected, you know, point A to point B that, you know, weak competition equals a weak conference.
Yeah. And that's what we've seen the last few years.
It's just the only downside is I may never again see my alma mater, Cal Poly Pomona and McHale Center again.
And will you live because of it? You'll be fine.
Probably.
Yeah. I will see my team. I think my alma mater is New Mexico State. So they're coming in next year. And they've had pretty good teams over the last few years. In fact, that coach they have, and his name slips my mind right now, but he's a very good coach. He's ready to do some trouble before he got to New Mexico State, but a very good coach. So that should be a good game coming in.
So you're saying that your alma mater is not a cupcake and mine is?
If you want to deduce that, that's fine. But that's kind of like Tom's approach to my logic. Yes. Hey, are you going to softball? Have you been to softball yet?
I haven't been this season. I haven't seen the new stadium from the inside at least, and haven't been.
Do you plan on going?
Oh, we might. It was we were thinking about it on Friday night, and then we realized it'd be easier to stay home and watch.
Yeah, but you know what?
But they're playing great. It's just amazing to watch them.
Yeah, it's funny that everybody thinks about that now. I think, and this is a dumb question, but it's probably a question I'll need to ask. So you go to football games, I assume. But do you think that the attendance is being hurt because of one, late nights? I think that's part of it. But just because you can watch it at home in the comfort of home and your beers are not $8 a shot?
I think that's probably got a lot to do with it. You know, you didn't always have 60-inch or whatever. You know, you didn't always have these big TVs with high definition and unlimited replays. So it does get interest. It does get easier to stay at home and watch.
Right. And I don't blame them for doing that. But the fan base, and you've been here, how long have you been in Tucson?
25 years.
So about the time I have, how would you rate the fan base here, football and basketball? Let's do football only.
In terms of showing up for games?
Enthusiasm and showing up for games, yeah. Scale of 10.
It has really fallen off. I mean, football was the place to be on Saturday nights. You know, I was in the heyday of the Tomey era. And even in Stoops' time, he was drawing big crowds. Last couple of years, people started leaving, like, in the first half. That's when you kind of knew that the writing was on the wall for Stoops. But
you mean for Rich Rod?
Even in the Stoops years, they were pulling 50K plus a game.
Right. You're talking about Rich Rod, that was the kind of the end for Rich Rod as well. Part of it.
Well, yeah. And then Rodriguez, it never had really strong attendance. I don't, you know, think about that one year they went to the Fiesta Bowl. They had some big wins that year. And what was the one, the Colorado game? Shoot, on the Berkeley game, by the time they won it with no time on the clock, the only time in the whole game that they were ahead was when there were no time on the clock. There was, you know, maybe 10,000 people there to see that.
Right. I remember that because almost the student section was, well, the whole east side was pretty much clear outside of a few students on the bottom.
Boy, the weird thing about during the Rodriguez era was the emptiness of the student section through most of his time here, even during 2014 when he had what I would consider a good season.
Yeah, I don't know about those students. Everyone talks them up because they have to. But even then, even when Adia was going through this great run in the NIT, they didn't show up. They didn't show up till the end, I think.
Well, even in basketball, the student section wasn't what it once was. So, to whatever that means, but student section in McHale has always been strong, and this season it wasn't as strong.
Yeah,
you can tell the difference.
Right, right, and I'm sure you've heard this throughout the years. Is oh, we got to be a better home court advantage. Put the students on the side because you know, be like Duke or whatever. And it's just, they're right. They're perfect where they're at right now. Because if you don't win, then it becomes a problem.
Yeah, yes, but I don't know if what's driving it. But I would assume that you know, people finding it easier to stay at home. They keep. Yeah, you know, they make deals on tickets. They have ticket specials and, you know, a special where you can get a ticket and some food for a discounted price. And I don't know if the train's left the station on attendance at football games. And it's weird because they're about to put, you know, tens of millions of dollars into that stadium.
Right, right. Aren't they going to shorten it up, though, kind of enclose it a little bit better? So it might look a little more full.
So they did at ASU, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's all about appearances and the perception.
But on the other side of the coin, Utah, which has an enthusiastic fan base, we went on the trip up there 2-3 seasons ago, totally enthusiastic fan base, totally engaged throughout the game, and they added seats in the offseason. Added.
Yeah.
At their football stadium.
Right, right, right. What time was that game played at?
It was at night. It was a 7:30 game.
Oh, so look at that.
Weather was decent, yeah.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, here it's about, the Pac-10 and the TV stations, or the TV station is messing with us because it's 7:30, 8:30 start, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but they're gone by halftime anyway, whatever time it is.
I think September, even October, 7 o'clock starts are fine, and it'd be nice to have a few, like, 4 o'clock starts late October and in November. It'd sure be nice.
Well, the good thing, thanks for the call. We got about a half minute left. Thanks for the call. And good
for you, Steve.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Good for you guys who will at least get a more bang for your buck on your season ticket with no more cupcakes beyond after this next season. So good for you guys. We'll take the rest of the day off. See you guys tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Thanks a bunch, everybody, for listening to our 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.